on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, Shay here, On Air Indie. Welcome and enjoy episode 31. First, Music History Boiled Down for March 29th. In 1999, the David Bowie Internet Radio Network broadcasts its first show for Rolling Stone Radio. Today, the Dead Freights out of Southampton, UK are on the show to introduce the band and discuss their releases, Fever and the Thunder and Suffering Safari. Band members Charlie and Louie join us today. Welcome, Charlie and Louis.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, it's Louie. It's a silent
Louis.
S. Yeah. Silent S.
I know.
That's totally not the only thing silent about him.
You know what? I was going to ask that question in the green room, and I usually do, and I forgot.
Hey, it's cool. Don't worry. It's not your fault. It's got an S in it. You'd think you'd pronounce it, but
that's why
I got a progressive mother.
That's one word.
Well, actually, it's common to do Louis in the UK for that.
I think it's French, a French spelling.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. So,
well, you got my name right.
Yeah, well, Charlie. So, Charlie, you do lead vocals, and Louis is drummer and backup vocals.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And you guys are a four-piece band.
Yeah, there's another two. We've got Dan and Robbie as well.
Yeah.
Okay. How did the band get together?
I met Robbie, who's our other guitar player, in school, and we sort of, formed a band kind of there and then, really, when we were quite young. And then as we kind of got older, started working with different people and different kind of projects and stuff, met Louis and then met Dan, as we are now. We got Dan. Dan's been in the band probably a couple of months now, isn't it?
So yeah, he's really new.
Like brand spanking new. He's like a newborn puppy.
Yeah, bless him. Bless his little, bless his little cotton socks. He doesn't know what he's letting himself
He's
in
still
for.
Got that new puppy smell. Have you smelled him recently?
He smells great. He smells fresh.
Yeah.
He doesn't smell like... He doesn't smell bad.
He doesn't smell like he's been weathered. Well, I'm weathered by the industry, mate. I've been on the freight train a while. He's fresh.
Yeah.
But I knew you guys would be fun, but this is awesome.
Oh, cheers, Joe.
Okay, so and Franklin, is he still involved with the band?
Yeah, Franklin. Sorry, I was referring to Robbie as Franklin.
Oh, okay, okay.
His last name is Franklin, but we often get called by your last name, although my last name's a first name.
Yeah, because Charlie's name is Charlie James, and I've always been taught never to trust a man that's got two first names.
No, there you go.
Yeah, Franklin is very much involved in the band.
Big time.
So, yeah, he plays the guitar and like does a lot of singing, but he's also kind of tech genius.
He's the kind of man behind kind all of the tech stuff, isn't he? Like design and stuff.
Yeah, he knows about bit rates and buffer size and all that.
Frame rates and stuff.
Good. Yeah, I mean, what's?
Yeah, we need that guy.
Yeah, you need that.
Everyone needs one of those.
Yeah. So is he involved with the production side of it too?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. He does a lot of production side of it.
Yeah.
At the moment, we've got a guy who mixes our stuff. We've spent ages trying to find the right guy to mix our stuff, and we've kind of found this guy called Josh, and we're kind of sticking with him. But Franklin has a lot. Say again.
Is that Josh Ager or Joshua Davenport?
Yeah, that's Josh Ager.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah,
but you know Joshua Davenport as well.
Yeah, we did some stuff with Davenport.
He played in Feverist.
Yeah, did he I do my research when I have a band on, guys. So don't judge yourself, that's all. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, this is weird. Yeah. Oh, wow. You actually, know some stuff.
I think Davenport did master.
He mastered Fever and Thunder.
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, cheers. was that Davenport? Yeah. We haven't thanked him or paid him.
I'll tell you what, how about we ask you the questions about us?
Okay, you can interview me on another show. Nice. That'd be cool. I have a shitload of stuff I could talk about. Okay, so you guys formed the band pretty early, so you must have had a pretty musical background, both of you.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, I mean, I was playing guitar when I was pretty young and sort of writing silly little songs and stuff. Only like when I say writing silly little songs, when I was like three, I was writing songs about sort of like brie, as in like the cheese. That was like the first song.
But the good thing that brie kind of doubles up as a girl's name as well.
Yeah.
So you could say
you
and your young mind was actually writing a song about cheese, but your people could be going, oh, he was so in love with this.
I could write a poem about cheese and then just sell it off to a girl and pass it off like a love poem.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be one of my favorite bands after the show.
Oh, that's great.
I love your music, but I love your humor, man.
I started playing drums pretty early. I remember my mum wanted to play the drums. It was when my mum and dad split up, right? It was kind of like she started doing all the stuff that she kind of wasn't able to do.
Fair enough.
You know,
I get that.
Because she was like emancipated. She was like free to do what she wants. So she like got a dog. Because dad never wanted that, and then she got like a drum kit and stuff, and then like I remember the drum kit was like sitting in the corner of the room, and she started playing it, and she was really really bad at it. She was like awful. I was like bless her, and I went on and kind of just went straight away, and I was just like I can do this. I've got this, you know. I'm never looking at the piano again. This is my thing.
You're born with it.
I was born with it.
Came out of the womb playing the umbilical cord like a glockenspiel.
Wow. You're very good at it. So you started on the keys and then you went to the drum.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, we had a little piano in the house and kind of I was encouraged to play it, but I always thought it was a chore.
Yeah,
it was.
It really feels like, oh, what scales?
Yeah.
Rubbish. Like, the bands that I liked at the time, like, I don't know, Offspring and Rage Against the Machine didn't have any audible piano in it.
No.
But the drums were really loud, so it seemed like a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, my favorite's the drums.
Yeah.
My favorite's the drums.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, but I came from an upbringing where that wouldn't have gone over in the garage, you know. all that noise.
Do you play any instruments, Shay?
Yeah. What?
Do you play any instruments?
No, I don't. I do songwriting.
Nice.
And I've been a writer. I've published poetry. Most of my creative work is on the writing side. I also cover music for a New York City content firm.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, so I'm more on that side. But I'm glad you asked. I'm actually going because I find it a challenge finishing up a song in order to present it and demo it. I'm going to be picking up the guitar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm looking around for one actually right now. But because of COVID, it's a lot of the stores that we would go to look to see aren't there.
Yeah. It's not like you have to buy one out, and it's a risk because you haven't tried it out. You don't know if you'll like it or not.
Yeah. If you just get one shipped in, you might never know if you're into it.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I came from a very humble beginning. And my first go, if I'm going to do something new like that, is I'll get it from a thrift store and learn the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
And then when I find that it's something that I'm really going to stick to, then I'll put the money down.
Yeah, that's good. And also, if you get it from a thrift store, the chances are it might be a bit beaten up and it might be a bit difficult to play. You learn on that, and then you get one that's actually fairly decent to play, and you don't realize how good you are. You're like, oh, wow, I can actually play better than I thought, because the other one, I didn't realize that I was actually quite good. The other one's hard to play.
Yeah, it's sort of like anything, but it's just the way I am as a person. I do things small. But I did take guitar lessons about 10 years ago at the same time two of my children were taking it, to be honest with you. And it was probably the teacher. It was sort of a Negative Nancy type, very, very strict, didn't really want to go outside the box. And all of us are outside the box, me and the kids.
Yeah, of course. We had a proper Miss Trunchbull trying to teach the guitar for the first time.
But one of my sons is gifted in terms of, he wouldn't call himself that, but he can pick up any instrument and without lessons play it. A virtuoso. One of my daughters has an incredible, incredible voice. She's put out something, but just for fun.
So
we got the music bug.
Nice.
Yeah. I was definitely there. Now, honestly, I thought, I better not say this on the air because they may be offended. But then I was reading your background and some of the reviews, and I was blown away that one of your influences, which you remind me of the first time I heard you, is the Beatles.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm going, oh, my God. I always review a band's music, past and current. And I'm going, you know what, these dudes, do they remind me of the Beatles? And, I don't know if they want me to say that. And it blew me away because you do. Your attitude, your freshness, your lyrics, everything about you reminds me of the Beatles.
So obviously we're flattered,
That's good. That's why I can say it.
I've been into the Beatles in a massive way since I was 14 or something. It's been like a daily obsession every day since then. I'm 27 now, so it's just definitely been a lot of Beatles.
That's a lot of Beatles.
It's a lot of Beatles, and it's still not enough, But I'm glad that's obviously. I don't think it comes out in the music in a kind of gimmicky way. I think it's more the kind of vibe,
It's a vibe. It's a vibe. I have a story about that too. Is because my daughter, she came home and told me years ago, about 10 years ago, she said, "I found the greatest band, Mom. You got to hear them. It was the Beatles."
Nice. That's great. I like how she was it like proud mom moment.
Yeah, and that's what I said. Oh, you know what? I think you need to hear it. All the good music. So yeah. I got to the Who and the Stones and, Cream and stuff like that. But it's amazing how that type of music, like the Beatles and these other legacy bands and some of the new indie are putting up the same same sound, such as yourself.
It's funny.
The music doesn't die. It doesn't die.
No, you're right. It doesn't. I was just going to say, I like the idea that she sort of come up to you and said, "I found this really unknown band, this underground band. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're called the Beatles." Well done on discovering them on your own. But actually, they've been pretty popular.
Yeah, pretty popular. They're still going. I saw them in concert. McCartney.
Oh, nice.
In Toronto. Toronto to the rest of the world. Torontonians say Toronto. Toronto, Ontario, which is a big city in Ontario, which is a province in Canada.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. Not the best concert I saw there. The best concert was Aerosmith. Springsteen.
Now we're talking Louis' language with Aerosmith.
Aerosmith. I was 7 rows from Tyler.
Oh, wow.
It was like the highlight of my...
You could probably, almost touch his snaky hips.
Oh, yeah. And some of the girls, oh, my God, the things they were saying.
He's one of those guys that his voice has remained good. He's 74 or something now. Sounds incredible. Yeah, he's still got it. And he's got a great vibe and attitude and energy, and it's quite rare for a band like that to have survived all those generations and sort of evolved you know, they were like big, and they were like a 70s band that kind of got big in the 90s again, and then, you know, maintained success all up until now. Like lots of those rock bands, you know, didn't survive the 90s in such a kind of creative way, you know.
Yeah, and that song, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, that was released in 1998 by Steven Tyler, put a huge refocus on the band as well.
Yeah.
No, he's having, have you seen him interviewed? It's insane.
Yeah, I watched the Joe Rogan podcast with him.
He's great.
He shows up with like crystal skulls and
crystal meth.
It's incredible. If you see him on video and he's asked a question, look at his eyes. It's incredible. It's like a human computer working. It's like he is incredibly gifted.
He's cute and sweet in the sense that he doesn't kind of, he could act a lot more arrogant and stuff considering all his achievements, but he always seems really happy to answer questions. And like the interview that I saw, he kind of comes in and he's written notes down and he's brought them in so he can remember what to say. And I thought that was a really sweet touch. You know, still hasn't lost that kind of childhood, I don't know, curiosity.
Yeah, I don't think he ever will. So you guys had you recorded in Abbey Road Studio 2.
Yeah, we did.
Mecca.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Tell me about it.
We went in there for a weekend and we recorded 5 tracks. Yeah, like you said, Studio 2 with all the microphones and stuff that the Beatles would have used. And we played on their pianos and stuff like that. Like there's a piano in there called Mrs. Mills that they recorded loads on. But, you know, like Fool on the Hill, for instance, you know, that piano intro.
Mm-hmm.
And like Lady Madonna and stuff like that. It's just
kind of like the honky tonk piano.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of when you start playing it just sounds like the Beatles.
Sounds instantly. Like the record, yeah.
Sounds like the record.
But, I was singing into John Lennon's microphone as well at one point that was pretty magical. We were in there, it was like we went in there and it was that weekend that we were in there marked the 50-year anniversary that they'd gone in there and recorded Happiness is a Warm Gun.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which was really, because obviously that's like one of our favourite tunes off the White Album. And it's probably the tune that I'd think about if I was going to kind of compare the Freight sound to like an older Beatles kind of sound. I'd probably say something off White, one of the more rockier ones, you know. So it was nice to sort of fill in my own little bit of Beatles history because it's like a story that I've been, you know, and a band that I've been so into.
Yeah, but it was also weird because it was quite early on in our recording career. To be there.
Yeah, of course. Where do you go from there?
Exactly. Yeah. Like all the stuff that we've actually... all the stuff that's actually been, you know, that more people have listened to, we've recorded in like friends' studios in their garage.
Like the Suffering Safari backing vocals we just did in Franklin's bedroom. And it's a bit of a step down from Studio 2.
Yeah, yeah. We've just, since then, we've consistently stepped it down. Every year since, we've just got a little bit
here in the phrase, we like to step it down.
Yeah. You think most bands want to step it up, but we actually like to step it down.
We like to start at the top and then just and then slow decline
gradually decline into
I have an idea on getting you back there. Send a demo to Kurt McCartney.
Yeah, have you got his number? He doesn't pick up when I try.
I would. Why not? You have nothing to lose, everything to gain.
Must have left him 100 voice notes.
So we're going to listen to Fever and Thunder in a bit. Can you tell us a bit about the song? It was released December 18th, 2020.
Yes.
It's a great song. Love it. Actually the video is cool too.
Yeah, the video we made downstairs in this very house actually. Yeah.
In my living room. Yeah.
Wow, you couldn't tell. It's cool. Well done.
Yeah, thanks.
We're actually we were Franklin edited that the other day saying that we were still happy with that video. like looking back on it, like it's a really nice piece of nice piece of film.
It did take us 3 attempts to record.
It was like, it felt like
we didn't know what we were doing
because it was like every weekend for a month.
Yeah, it felt like Groundhog Day, but except if on that Groundhog Day, Charlie gets hanged.
Yeah, all I did was work and film the fever video for like 30 days straight.
I mean, in that video, like we put a noose around his neck and we hang him. If you're going to be doing that every weekend for like a month, that's surely got to play some kind of toil on your,
you think it would,
on your mental health.
Yeah, it would. So what's the song about?
Fever.
Yeah.
I suppose the chorus line, getting the fever and the thunder behind the eyes, I suppose it's kind of like...
It's all like a headache, isn't it?
It's kind of acting on kind of, you're kind of acting on kind of rage or something. The verses is kind of... just like a kind of stream of consciousness, really, you know, and then it kind of, the song itself kind of freaks out during the choruses, and then a bit later on it kind of climaxes, you know. I'd say it's about kind of losing control with yourself.
Oh, is that why it starts with rotten cheater on your chest?
Yeah, rotten cheat on a killing spree is the lyric.
Ah, yeah, I saw the lyric.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's kind of about, I think there's probably a few little digs at myself in there, but I think, yeah, mainly the lyrics kind of lose control of themselves, and that's kind of what the music kind of matches it, you know.
That's cool. So we're going to listen up. We're going to listen to Fever and the Thunder.
Rotten cheat on a killing spree, crooked fingers crossed, a tail.
what was the outcome of the song? Was it well received on radio?
Yeah, we got a few bits here and there, didn't we?
Yeah.
We got like, there's a few, we've had like a few like local radio stations play it and stuff. And like, obviously it's been difficult with releasing music because there's not really a chance to go and gig it, you know? So
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
really yeah. hard to gauge. It's well, normally you'd kind of play a load of songs live and then whichever ones you get the most buzz off, those are the ones that you kind of plan on releasing. Whereas with these releases, we haven't really had that opportunity with an audience to kind of see what people were vibing off or not, you know? So we just kind of, we had a bunch of tunes and we just kind of picked our favorites for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, you released it on YouTube at the beginning of the year. It has close to 17,000 views already.
Yeah, yeah, it did quite well on there, which we were pleased with, right? Because it took us so long to get those visuals down. If it had just got like 100 views, I don't know. I'd have still been happy with it as a product, but I think I'd have been slightly bitter.
It's weird, isn't it, what captures people's imagination?
Yeah.
You know, you spend really, really long time on like a video or something and then no one gives a shit about it. And you kind of do like a, I don't know, an Instagram thing that
you're
takes 15
that,
seconds.
A press up.
Yeah. Everyone like loves it. And you're like, what about the thing that took us a month?
Well,
yeah, but actually that one did actually do okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you look back at your other releases on YouTube, between 2,500 to close to 4,000 views, and this has four times the amount of views. You're doing great, guys.
Oh, that's good. That's going in the right direction.
Or maybe we are stepping it up after all.
Behind the scenes, we're stepping it down, but we're projecting out to the world, it looks like we're stepping it up.
As long as that's how it looks, I'm happy.
Really. Yeah.
Well done. Right. Well done. And I don't doubt, I've heard the pre-release of A Suffering Safari. Mm. I think it'll do just as well, if not better. It's set to released March 19th, 2021, which is about a week ago from where we are today.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
We're really excited about that one.
Yeah. Well, no, it's out now.
Oh, it's out now. We're really excited about what we've just done.
We still are excited.
we were and we have been and we still are excited about that.
Yeah. What's the backstory on that song?
Well, I suppose this one we had for quite a while, didn't we? It's probably the longest one to arrange.
Yeah.
Suffering. It was quite a weird one in terms of structure because it's not really that kind of verse chorus, is it? It's kind of,
yeah,
there was a lot we had to kind of think about where we wanted it to go musically a lot more. I think some songs you kind of hear it in your head, or you know, people will say that they write themselves, and I think this one, it wasn't like a slug to write, but it definitely wasn't.
We definitely arranged it as a band a lot, this one. There, you know, kind of, you'd come up with some really good lyrics, and the music around that was just like, we had so many different variations of the song before we actually settled on what we thought was good.
Yeah, it takes time sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's a better representation of the sort of newer stuff that we're writing now than Fever and the Thunder was.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I saw more of the Beatles influences in that track than the other one.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a few little sort of Beatlesy bits in there. We've got some nice backing vocals, so they're sort of buried, but they're more sort of textural than kind of Beatles backing harms, but they are nice.
And Louis did the backup vocals for this one?
When we do it live, he will be, but on
did it on the recording.
Me and Franklin did it on the, because obviously we're a bit restricted as to what we could do.
Yeah.
Oh, so you did this during lockdown?
Yeah, we did. We recorded it out of lockdown, and then we did some other stuff during, we did like those backing vocals we just did in Franklin's bedroom, or Charlie and Franklin did, yeah.
So you're in Southampton. For listeners that don't know where that is, how close is it, and what's the busiest music scene closest to you?
Well, we're kind of just under London, really. There's not much distance.
London's like an hour and 20 minutes on the train.
Yeah, so we're right nearby. So I'd probably say that's the kind of closest scene.
Yeah,
I'd say. I mean, Southampton's got some nice stuff going for it, but it can, I mean, in terms compared to London, it's not really.
It's quite a small city, really, Southampton, and people slag it off for not having. For not having much of a music scene. But actually, if you scratch below the surface, there's quite a lot of good talent that comes out of it. I don't know if that's because people are bored.
Well, there's a lot of good talent that comes out of all of UK. You guys have been kicking ass for decades.
Yeah.
For decades. It's like something in the water over there.
Something in the cobbles.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. It's like a sort of bit of misery.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think English people get that much false hope. I don't know about America or not, but like I feel like from the films that I've watched, that people are, you know, they go, no, you know, one day you could be president you'll score the winning goal.
Yeah,
but like in England, as soon as you're old enough to hold a pint, then it's here's a Guinness, you're fucked. You know.
Well, okay, you got it wrong. It's Canada that scores the goals. We're the hockey gods, okay? But the U.S. market, I can't comment, only as an observer like yourself. It is very celebrity-focused. On the films and that, and the American Dream and that. It's a great country. It's a lot of opportunity in every country. With the United States, it is possible for anybody to become president, as we see, but we'll change the topic. I don't want to get into politics. So Suffering Safari is up next.
Dungeon dreams, some in Krabby Smith.
Honestly, guys, I love the song. I think it'll do very well when it I think it'll be well received.
Glad you like it.
So are you hoping to arrange a gig, a touring gig tour once the lockdown's out?
Yeah, most certainly. Yeah, that's kind of the plan. I mean, obviously we've been...
We don't have any tour dates yet.
No.
Of course not.
We've just been itching to play live, really. We did a couple of gigs, like... a couple of socially distanced gigs last year, I think in November or something.
In Southampton.
A little venue in Southampton called The Stage Door, which normally does kind of like burlesque and kind of cabaret and stuff like that.
Yeah, so we fit right in.
Yeah. it was good actually, but we've just booked a show, a headline show at The Joiners, which is like Southampton's most kind of prestigious venue.
It's just a really cool venue that like everyone has played. Anyone that sort of made any success when they were starting out played at The Joiners, you know. It's one of those. It's got a lot of history. Yeah, I can imagine. A lot of history on the stage. And
yeah, we have a few in Toronto like that.
There's kind of a vibe in there which you can tell some stuff has gone down, you know.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So are these, this release, is it going to be part of a upcoming EP or just a single?
I think for the moment, we're just going to be releasing singles. Like I think there's talks of like maybe releasing something with like a few more, something like an EP or like an album. But right now we're just want to keep releasing singles kind of as they come, really.
Right now, we're just popping out singles like they're going out of fashion.
Yeah, like they're hotcakes.
Yeah. Just like, boom.
Single. So when's the next release?
Next release is going to be out as soon as we can go and record it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the next song that we're going to do after this is called Batman.
Batman.
Yeah, Batman. We've got like a demo of it on our Instagram page, and everyone seemed to love it. And then like
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's really good. The song's about, it's about Charlie was walking home one day and he started getting chased down the street by like a guy with a baseball bat.
Yeah, a fella offered me out for a fight and he had a baseball bat in his hands.
Yeah, so naturally Charlie, being a weakling, ran out of there.
Ran home and was terrified for ages.
Yeah, and then wrote a song about it. That got him back.
Yeah, that's your show.
That sure showed him. I'm going to write a song about you one day, buddy.
Next time he comes up to me in the streets hurling a baseball bat, he'll think again.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I might write a catchy pop riff about this, mate.
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
Yeah, then he'll be sorry.
So is that something that actually happened?
Yeah. It was really scary.
Only in England.
Yeah, apparently only in Southampton.
Yeah. So my grandfather on my mother's side is from the England. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Whereabouts? Do you know?
You know what? I don't want to be wrong, but I believe it was... I always forget it. It's one of the famous ones. It wasn't Liverpool. I think it's Manchester. I might be wrong. He passed away when I was 9 years old. Very British, very British. And my grandmother. So I have a lot of Brit in me, and Welsh, and some Parisian French, and Canadian French. I'm Heinz 57.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's it there. That's cool.
A whole mixed bag.
A political hot potato.
Little potato in Ontario running a podcast and talking to a man that's crazy in the UK. That's cool.
we're really dialing it down over there.
Yeah. So do you have any collaborations that you're looking to do or any that you have done in the past that you'd like to talk about? Like,
I haven't actually done any.
No?
No,
that's something we should think about, really. I mean, we do stuff like, because you play doing like other things, don't you, with other people? And we both play with quite a lot.
Yeah,
we both play quite a lot of music in sort of different kind of circles. Obviously, the Freights being our main thing.
Yeah.
But we've never really brought anyone in. I guess it hasn't really needed it at the moment. It'll be good to do like a song with someone that's kind of, you know, like half theirs and half ours kind of thing, as opposed to just getting someone in on like a piano or something.
Yeah, getting someone in for six bars.
Yeah, type five.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. What I mean, I don't know how that would actually work, really.
We could do some hip hop.
Yeah, well, I say, like, every time we do, we kind of go in and set up for band practice, and we always have like quite a lot of just jam time before we start sort of practicing on things that we've written. And it always goes quite hip hop.
It's either hip hop or a sort of jaunty kind of Paul Simon.
Yeah, kind of.
Sometimes collaboration can be a real positive. I think most of the time it can be real positive. You have some ska influence too, right?
Some ska. Oh, yeah, I see how you can say it. And in Stray Dogs, it's kind of got a bit of an offbeat vibe to it.
Yeah.
It could be kind of scary.
Yeah, all right, I see that now. So I can picture a sort of knees up thing to Stray Dogs.
I suppose that's not really intentional.
No?
No.
But I mean, I love ska.
You're more of a reggae man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exclusive, but you're the Louis. The
ska came first, didn't it?
Louis kind of the face of reggae around here in Southampton.
Charlie's not. That's not true. I'm not the face of reggae. I'm not by the face of reggae in Southampton. Just let's just nip this one right in the bud. Louis, me, the drummer of the Dead Prince, is not the face of reggae in Southampton.
I do see the ska influence, and Straight Dogs is one of them, actually. I do see that. That's why I was mentioning it.
Oh, yeah. It's got that, yeah, I see what you mean. It's got that kind of an offbeat vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Apart from the releasing of the singles and until things open up, is there anything else for this year that we should look forward to? Like, are you going to be releasing videos with these singles?
Yeah, well, there's a video for Suffering Safari, but I don't know if in where we are in time, I don't know if we've released that yet. But
yeah.
If we have or not, it's
we
really good.
We probably nearly have or have.
It's not on YouTube yet.
It's not on YouTube. No, we filmed it last night.
Yeah.
Well, you have to give production time.
Yeah,
of course. What are these people doing?
Yeah, we really, really DIY'd it. Like, if you thought like the Fever and the Thunder video was DIY, this one was even more so. We just filmed it on like our phones.
Yeah.
But it's a cool concept. It's like a simple concept which really focuses on the lyrics. Because some people have said that Charlie's the best lyricist of his generation.
Well, I mean, it's not. I mean, only these are the same people that said that you're the face of reggae.
Yeah, who are these people?
I don't know.
Stop hanging out with them.
Yeah, we should at least stop bringing up what they say or when we do podcasts.
Yeah, we should sort of think of our own things to say, not bring up these idiots' comments.
Your lyrics are very strong, Charlie. That's one of the reasons I love the band.
Yeah, I think his lyrics are really good as well. By the way, that's just a compliment to. I'm just saying to you right, that sat right next to me. I think your lyrics are really good. Like you're out the room. Yeah, I think his lyrics are pretty good too.
Yeah, so I look forward to seeing it. I subscribe to all your channels, so I know I'll see it.
Hopefully it'll be out soon. It's just like a fairly simply stylized like lyric video. Basically, we just wanted something to. Focus in on the, yeah, like we said, the lyrics a bit more.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome. So where's your most active channel? Are you more active on Instagram, Twitter?
Yeah, it's mainly on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah. We're not really that active on Twitter.
So fans should follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, that's where they'll find us. It's me and Louis that mainly run, it's Louis that mainly runs it. And
we both do it.
Hither and thither.
We both do it. I think it's, I just quite like the layout of it.
You know?
The fact that you can do stories, keep people updated.
And as well, like, you're a very visual learner, aren't you?
Twitter confuses me because of my dyslexia.
Yeah, whereas it helps you to have pictures just as a sort of, you can always dip back in just to looking at pictures.
Yeah, if it was a pop-up picture book.
Yeah,
they do. Instagram seems a bit more like a community. Twitter, you feel like you post something or tweet something. It's like going into a black abyss.
Like,
don't know where it's going. You hope you tag the right person, and you know, I've had some engagement, but I would say the most is on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much weight this has behind it, but we've heard Twitter's on the way out.
Have you joined that new app, Clubhouse?
No. Clubhouse, what's that?
You haven't heard about Clubhouse?
No,
we haven't.
Cool. You know what? I have an invite, but I'm holding it back. Clubhouse is an invite-only application that's audio, and it's a rage over here in North America.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you invite us?
I will, because...
Can you save that invite for us?
Yeah. It's only on iOS right now. Do you have Apple phones?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You know what? Why not?
Awesome. Oh, wow. Thank you for this invite. What does it do,
though? It sounds like I feel really like we've been invited to a cool clubhouse.
Yeah. Honestly, it's pretty cool. I'm not that active. I'm sort of lurking around to see where I want to do. But you know what? It's really fun. It's really fun. Okay. Really fun. So you got it, man. I have a few invites and I've been very selective because
I
didn't want to back you into a corner. I did ask just then, but like, if you're just being polite on air, you don't have to feel pressured into wasting one of your invites on us.
You know, honey, you don't know me that well, but if I say something, I mean it. So don't worry about it. You get an invite. You get an invite, and I haven't been cornered. Yeah. So,
that's great.
Look forward to seeing you.
That's refreshing as well, because most people say loads of things and then it turns out to never be true.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially in this game.
Can't remember the last time I got invited.
Yeah, music business has a reputation, but to be honest with you, I must have had incredible luck. I have very few, if not, I could say none, negative influences with the people I've dealt with. Everybody's been community-oriented, helpful.
Oh, great.
That probably says more about you than them, though, doesn't it? Like, it's probably the way that you've been able to adapt to other people and whatever, take what they say differently.
You put out positive vibes.
I reckon.
I believe in karma and karmic energy. So, yeah, it could be the vibe, man.
Yeah. What goes around comes around.
Well, it was really been fun to have you guys on.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, we should do this more often.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you.
Thank you so much. See you.
Lots of love.
Have a great evening. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Next episode, Coor Brow Ovals joins us. Coor is a southeastern UK-based artist known for his pure voice, intelligent lyrics, and powerful stage presence. So catch you at the pod March 30th on Air Indie. From iPad to yours, over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.